Spring football is heating up in Morgantown on the campus of WVU, but other preparations are also underway for some former Mountaineers, one specifically, the All-American Zach Frazier. He is getting ready for the NFL draft, which is just 18 days away, and we had the chance to speak with him here on the Golden Nation podcast, which as always is brought to you by Elite Roofing and Construction. Roof with the best or leak with the rest. Ryan Decker, Angelica Trinone here with you on this conversation with Zach and Angelica. Zach is obviously one of our favorites. He's one of West Virginia University fans' favorites, but what a great interview and what a great opportunity for this guy that he's going to have really just here in a couple weeks.
Whenever we last saw him, Ryan, we were at the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Here comes Zach Frazier on his little scooter. Mm-hmm. He's got the cast on the foot, he's got the scooter, and then obviously we didn't see him in person, we just saw him over Zoom, but we've been seeing a lot of videos about what he's been doing. Certainly doesn't look like a guy who had a pretty severe lower leg broken bone injury just really a few months ago. So that always, you know, I think I even tweeted this a couple weeks ago that was like, if I wasn't there to see it with my own eyes that that happened with Zach, I don't know if I would believe it, just the way that he's been recovering, the way that he is. Of course, we talked to him a little bit about that recovery process. We relive that final moment there for him at Baylor. And then, of course, Ryan and I got the exclusive draft invite as well. Mm-hmm. Was it coerced? I don't know. I don't think so. I think, yes, it was. But guess what? The outcome was we're going to Frazier's for draft day.
We are definitely going to the Frazier's for draft day. It should be a great time there. April 25th is when the draft gets underway in Detroit. But he's staying local. Of course he is. Yeah. Zach Frazier, a Fairmont kid, staying local for the draft, wanting to be around family. You'll hear all of that conversation coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But certainly, you mentioned it right there. If you didn't know that Zach Frazier just had his leg broken at the end of November, you wouldn't know by the way that he's been moving around at the NFL Combine, moving around at Pro Day, and then workouts in between. And now he's back here on campus working out with Mike Joseph, I should say. And he's really getting ready for the next journey of his football career.
Yeah, just absolutely incredible, his recovery. And I know that that is something that stood out, just seeing the tweets of the media, the scouts, people who were there at the Combine, and also Pro Day as well, that everybody kind of has that same reaction of like, man, if this guy can move the way that he's moving now through these drills and everything else in the weight room, and that's him probably not at fully 100%, then I can't even imagine what he's going to be able to contribute to an NFL team. And, you know, we ask him for his favorite memories, his favorite moments being here at WVU. But I think if I have a favorite Zach Frazier moment, it's one that we experienced leading up to the 2023 season opener against Penn State. We saw Zach in the facility. We're over there for the Neil Brown Show. We walk by, you know, we're just telling the guys good luck. And I know that Nick says to Zach, he says, Zach, go get him this week. Just immediately with the straightest face, he says, thanks, I will. Never a hesitation from Zach Frazier. It did not matter who he was going up against on these opposing Big 12 defensive lines, even playing in a stadium there like we were in up at Penn State. That man is always ready for the moment. He may be a man of few words and not express it all the time, but talk about somebody who was certainly made for the stage that he's about to be playing on. We just cannot wait to see what the future holds for him.
He's direct, he's physical, and certainly a man of few words, but we got him to speak a little bit here in this interview, which is coming up right after this break. Stick with us. You're listening to the Golden Blue Nation podcast.
Elite Roofing and Construction is West Virginia's and the region's top reliable roofing professionals. Elite Roofing LLC specializes in residential and commercial roofing services and is dedicated to providing customer service that is second to none. Whether you have a new construction project or need to replace an old or damaged roof, Elite Roofing offers roofing repair and replacement services with free estimates. We also work with a variety of roofing types, including metal, shingle, tile, and rubber roofing. All of our work is completed by trained and certified roofing specialists. We never use subcontractors to complete any of our work. We work with insurance and financing is available. Elite Roofing and Construction, roof with the best or leak with the rest.
Despite the ill-fated efforts of President Biden and his wealthy New York friends, West Virginia coal is thriving and being shipped to 45 countries worldwide. Given its high quality and clean-burning properties, countries across the globe are demanding and consuming it, and in-state production continues to grow. With billions of dollars of recent investment in West Virginia mining operations, combined with the reliability of our coal-fired electric manufacturing facilities, West Virginia coal is here to stay. No other fuel in the world matches West Virginia coal for base load generation and steel making. Like a good friend, it's always been and always will be there, keeping the lights on and contributing greatly to our growing economy. In fact, coal continues to sustain 50,000 plus West Virginia jobs, putting food on the table for Mountain State families. Visit friendsofcoal.org to learn more. A message from the Friends of Coal.
Joining us now on the Gold and Blue Nation podcast, he is number 54 in your program, but number one in your heart. He is a future NFL draft pick coming up later this month. The one, the only, the pride of Fairmont, West Virginia, Zach Frazier. Zach, how are you doing?
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for that that intro.
So, Zach, I mean, take us through your day-to-day right now. What are you doing? How are things in the final days leading up to the NFL draft later this month?
Most of the hard stuff's over. The combine's over, pro day's over. Now it's just really just a waiting game. So it kind of sucks just, waiting to see, where you're going to go. But it's definitely a cool position to be in. And it's also feels really good to be back home because I was away training for a while. So it's nice to be back in West Virginia.
My question for you, Zach, is did you anticipate the recovery time for your injury being so quick? I mean, I was there at the Baylor game, saw that injury for you. We see you on the scooter at the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Then all of a sudden, we're watching you at the combine, and we were like, oh my gosh, look at Zach Frazier going. And I know people were like, how was this guy injured just a few months ago? Was the recovery time as quick as you thought whenever the injury had first happened?
When it first happened, my mind was kind of racing. I didn't know what to think. Obviously, like right in the moment, it was definitely scary because, I knew I was like, it was my last year. It was my last game all of a sudden. And it was just really scary because, I didn't know what was going to happen, but, luckily I was able to, attack rehab pretty hard and, attacked rehab and I was lucky that I recovered pretty fast.
We'll get up to the NFL draft and your recovery and stuff like that here in a couple of minutes, but let's go and let's start at that final game for you against Baylor. That final drive, your last play, take us through that play because you were 10 yards downfield essentially when you get rolled up on. Explain to folks why you were that far downfield and then what's going through your mind once you kind of get rolled up on at that point and then how you eventually get to the sideline.
So it was the first play of the drive. It was a 2-minute situation and we didn't have any timeouts. So kind of my job as a center is to get up on the ball as quickly as possible, especially when our guys tackled inbounds because the clock's running. We have to go. We have no timeouts. There's no way to stop the clock. But the first play of the drive, it was a screen to the left. I kind of released out to the left. And it was really weird because I didn't have anyone to block and kind of the way that Hudson caught it, he was just kind of right in front of me, so I just kind of grabbed him and started kind of running with him. And the D lineman that I hit up the field kind of retraced and kind of came up behind me. And he's trying to get to the ball carrier, but I was in between the two. So he kind of ended up tackling me and kind of did that hip drop tackle right on the side of my leg and broke it. And then just kind of like when it happened, it just hurt really bad. I was like screaming and I just knew I had to get off the field. Well, first I knew I couldn't run to the ball because I knew something was wrong. So I knew I had to get off the field so that we didn't get a runoff.
I know in that moment, Looking back on it, Coach Brown had talked about how really what you were able to do being injured but still realizing the pivotal point that it was in the game and getting off the field really just spoke to your toughness and just the way that you were so knowledgeable about the game. But I'm sure you've seen, you know, all over social media, fans, everybody talking about how that one play really does show what Zach Frazier is about, that even in quite literally probably your worst time of your life up to that point, you were still thinking about the team, still thinking about what could happen. If that type of play were to be, you know, your legacy here, I mean, is that a way you'd like to be remembered as a guy who quite literally gave it his all, even in a moment to where I'm sure it was pretty tough to do that?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really think twice about it. I just kind of knew that I had to get off the field. I've had a lot of fans and stuff that've seen me, like, thank me for it and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. And it's just something that, I don't know, I just did, and I would do it again. So.
And that's the cool thing about you, Zach, I think, is that, you know, you've done a lot of great things in your WVU career, the countless pancake blocks and all the awards and things you've won. But that one play, a play that you end up getting injured on, is the play that fans are thanking you for because of your heart and dedication and your knowledge of the game too in that moment, that if you don't get off the field, 10 seconds run off on a penalty, and then maybe you all don't score that touchdown. I mean, it's definitely a legacy. I know you've been asked about this before and you kind of just asked about it there, but I mean, do you think at all about your WVU football legacy? Is that something that you think about, or is that not something you'll think about till maybe you're done playing in the NFL one day?
For me, I think it was just I just had four really good years playing for West Virginia. And for me, like, growing up down the road, I was a fan first. Like, I grew up watching Tavon and Geno and, you know, all those guys. So, I mean, I was a fan of West Virginia first. So just to be able to play at all, you know, up here is really special to me. And then to get to play, you know, four full seasons, pretty much. The only game I missed was the bowl game. So I got four seasons, a lot of snaps, and a lot of great memories with, you know, all my teammates and coaches. It's really all I could ever dreamed of, really.
Obviously, the Mountaineers right now are in the midst of spring football, so we've been over at the facility the past couple of weeks for some interviews and such, and normally everyone's question to, you know, whether it be a guy like Brandon Yates, maybe offensive line coach Matt Moore, everyone wants to know, you know, what did you learn from Zach Frazier? What type of mark did Zach Frazier leave? But I'm curious to know, Zach, if there was one in particular player, maybe one season, but is there someone that helped you in your career that you kind of give credit to for help getting you, you know, through a season, or maybe taught you something that helped elevate your game? Just looking back, who was someone that you learned something from playing at WVU?
I would say just all the coaches that, you know, kind of poured into me and worked with me. Like, Coach Moore, first and foremost, was there, you know, all four seasons, obviously. And then all of our, you know, the GAs that we've had, our analysts, stuff like that. Like, just everyone that's worked with me and just really made me a better player, because, you know, those are the guys that I asked for advice, for correction on my technique and stuff like that. And really, they've made me a better player just from, you know, coaching me hard.
Well, let me follow up with this real quick. You said asking for advice on technique. I'm sure that most people are seeking you out for advice on technique, right? So what has been the reaction? What is some of the feedback then, I guess, that you got from your peers, from your teammates, whenever you are asking them for that type of feedback?
Obviously, like, I can help out, you know, the younger guys, or even, you know, some of the other guys, if they ask me how I do certain things, and, you know, I work with them, and just try to, you know, answer their questions and, really just answer their questions and, try to make them, I guess, feel better, pick them up, stuff like that. And then, you know, I do the same thing with, you know, the coaches and probably earlier in my career, the older guys that were there, just, you know, learning from them, and, you know, they helped me out too.
We talked about maybe your lasting legacy or your last memory on a WVU football field or in a WVU football game, but maybe give fans your favorite couple memories of your time here at West Virginia. You started, you know, as a freshman, the first freshman to start on the offensive line since the 1980s, and then you became an All-American and an eventual NFL draft pick. Give us a couple favorite memories from your Mountaineer career.
Probably my first the first memory is when I found out that I was starting, you know, the first game of my career. That was a really cool moment because of, you know, all the work that I put in throughout, you know, that COVID summer, which was already hard enough. And then to be able to, you know, earn the coach's trust enough to for them to, you know, pick me to go out there and start the first game. It was really cool. And then the really cool part was being able to call and tell my family that. I still remember that, you know, calling and telling them that, you know, I was going to be starting the first game. And then I would say probably other than that was this past season, you know, winning a lot of games. It was a lot of fun. And really, we were right there in a couple games that, you know, we didn't get our ultimate goal of winning a Big 12 championship, but it was a lot of fun this year. Winning a lot of games, you know, with all those guys. And then also the group that we had a really close locker room and just a really good group of guys in there.
Along those lines, you had obviously the opportunity to play with two other West Virginia natives. Doug Nestor was there beside you, also departing this program with you, and then Wyatt Milam, who will be back this season for WVU. You and Doug had been through a lot together in a short amount of time, and I'm sure, you know, both being from West Virginia, you shared a lot of the same experiences and just how, you know, prideful and how important it was for you to play for WVU. I know now you've got to experience Pro Day with him as well. Just what's this relationship like still between you and Doug, having the opportunity to play alongside each other here at WVU, and now you're getting to share another experience of just getting ready for the professional level together?
Yeah, it's been really special. You know, he transferred in from Virginia Tech, and, you know, ever since then, we've been really close. You know, it's been great playing with him, beside him, you know, the last couple of years. We both know what it means to grow up in West Virginia and then to play for West Virginia, which is really cool. And then also to play the same, you know, offensive line together. It's just really cool. And, you know, and then as far as going through the next steps, it was good to see him again at Pro Day. I've been away for a while, and he had been away training too. So it was good to see him. And then now we're both back training. Actually, this morning we worked out together. So it's just an exciting time.
So you both have mentioned Big 12 Pro Day down in Texas. You were also at the NFL Combine earlier this year. I'm curious, how does your leg feel? How has it reacted to getting back into the swing of things, a football-like competition and activities? And what were those experiences like being on those type of stages? And I'm sure as a football fan and a football player, you've always dreamed about being at the NFL Combine.
Yeah. Yeah, my leg feels really good. I would say I'm, you know, if we were playing football right now, I could play football. So
wow. I feel
really good. It's probably not 100% yet. But I mean, it's close. If it's not 100, it's probably 90, 95. But it's just a little thing. So it's just a little, I don't know, stiff, but that's just something that we're working through. And, I'm just working on mobility to get it better. And then as far as, like going to the combine, doing Pro Day, stuff like that, that's just the stuff you grow up, you know, watching and dreaming about doing one day. So to do those things, it was pretty special.
So at the Combine specifically, it's kind of gotten this this legacy or reputation of guys going in there and getting asked some interesting questions, we'll say, in their interviews with teams. You don't have to name the team, but I am curious, what's the most interesting question you got while you were either at the Combine or maybe at Pro Day there in Texas with a team you met with?
I haven't gotten anything off the wall, but I've heard, you know, some interesting questions. I haven't got anything too crazy. Just mainly just asking about family and stuff, like your background. I didn't get the crazy question. I was ready for it. I was waiting for it, but I never got it.
A lot of wrestling questions.
Yeah. I did talk about wrestling, I think, in every interview, pretty much.
But nobody asked you about the woodworking.
No one asked me about it. But I would tell some of them when they would ask about, like, what hobbies, you know, I like to do outside of football.
I'm sure woodworking is probably way on the back burner right now.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. My tools are all packed up. So, yeah.
With these workouts and such that you've been going through, you said you're back in Morgantown, right? So I'm assuming you're working with Coach Joseph?
Yes. Yeah.
All of these workouts that you've been put through, I'm sure working with Coach Joseph has made you probably more than prepared for what you've just been through and experienced from that physicality standpoint.
Oh, definitely. I feel like he's made everything else feel pretty easy. So I think, the training I just did for the combine, it's different than, you know,
sure,
your normal training for football. But yeah, it was definitely a lot easier just because of, you know, training with Coach Joseph.
Those workouts that you guys have done throughout your college career, no matter where drafts you, are you going to be happy to get away from the law school hill?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I didn't mind it, but I think it was more of like a rite of passage. And, you know, I like the tradition of it, too.
How many times were you in somebody who was at the first group to make it at the top? Any times? I'm sure you maybe had a few in you that you were competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, I would always try to win, in our line group.
What do you think the offensive line is going to look like this season, Zach, here for WVU? I mean, obviously got 7 guys with starting experience last year. You and Doug Nestor are the only ones gone, so really a whole line that has experience, and of course for Brandon moving into your position. But with those guys and that talent, you've played alongside them for many of years. What do you think this offensive line is capable of now in the post Zach Frazier era?
Oh, well, I know that it's a great group of guys, and I know that they're going to have a great season next year. And I'm not really too worried about them. I know they're going to have, I know how they work. And you know, I know the guys in that room, and I think they're really going to have a great season next year. And I don't think they're going to miss a step.
So I know when you were being recruited to WVU, there was a question of whether or not you would play defense or offense here with the Mountaineers. You ultimately play offense. You're on the offensive line your entire career. What does that group of offensive linemen and that room that you were in, what does that mean to you? And also the position of center. What does that mean to you, Zach? Because I know your dad played the position, and that area of the football field was kind of ingrained in you probably from the moment you were born.
Yeah, I think it's just – I feel like the offensive line room is different than any other room in the building. We all have a connection with each other. We all have, you know, great relationships, and we're really just best of friends. That's the best way I can put it. And just a tight knit group that, because we all have to play together on the field. You know, if one of us messes up, it affects everyone. And then for me playing center, it's just getting all of us on the same page, making the call, and then making sure everyone, you know, hears that call and executes that call. So there's no miscommunications.
Sticking with your dad here for a second, how big of an impact has he had on your football career specifically?
Yeah, he's had a huge impact on me. You know, he really started developing me from a young age, and really just started my love for football at, you know, probably since I started walking. You know, there's pictures of me holding, you know, footballs and stuff like that. and just watching football together growing up, you know, being a fan, and really just helped develop my love for football. And then also throughout like little league and middle school, he, you know, taught me the fundamentals and the basics, you know, like playing with low pads, playing with your hands inside, stuff like that.
Are there times now, you know, did he maybe like watch any film with you whenever a game was dumb? Was he giving you feedback on anything that you did throughout your career?
Yeah, he would always watch really closely. He would never, you know, like try to correct me or anything, but he was watching closely and he noticed everything. He kind of always said that he gave me a way to coach more, so he let Coach Moore coach me basically. But yeah, he still watched very closely.
What do you think is the best piece of football advice that you've gotten from your dad?
I would say he would always say like play through the echo of the whistle and stuff like that. Just like play through the whole play. Don't ever, you know, don't go past the whistle, but also, you know, don't stop before it. So,
with Jason Kelce becoming, you know, super popular in mainstream media and stuff, obviously he just announced his retirement a couple months ago. The center position's become maybe more popular than it's ever been. Obviously, a lot of fans are comparing you to different centers throughout the NFL, some comparing you to Jason Kelce as well, similar size and traits and things like that. I'm curious, growing up watching football with your dad, was there an NFL center that he was like, hey, if you continue to do what you're doing, you can be the next whoever that was? Was there ever a center he tried to compare you to maybe?
He didn't try to compare me to any centers, but we would watch like NFL games together, and really just he would, you know, point out things that you know, the players would do, you know, the guards, the centers, the tackles, and really just, you know, help grow my football knowledge by pointing things out and making me aware of things, you know, on the TV.
So I guess on that note then, you know, throughout this pre-draft process, has there been a guy in the NFL that either team personnel, people you're speaking with, that they've been comparing you to?
I've heard different things. You know, one team told me to watch Corey Linsley film. They said that they think that you know, I play similar to him. So that's someone that I've been watching because they told me to, you know, study his film. So
from those conversations, Zach, what has the feedback been? What are you hearing from, whether it be scouts, people at the combine, people at pro day? What do they like about your game? What are the areas that you're going to be working on up until the draft? Just the general feedback that you've received through this process so far.
It's hard to tell. Obviously a lot of teams like how physical I play, stuff like that. You know, how I make all the mic calls and stuff like that, just have, you know, control over the offensive line. But it's hard to tell like what they actually like. And, you know, I feel like you don't really know until you get drafted. You don't know what teams like you. And, you know, I've heard stories about people getting drafted to teams that, you know, they never even talked to. You don't really know who's interested. So that's kind of the part that, you know, kind of sucks, just waiting and wondering, I guess, where you're going to go.
Now, over the past few weeks, I ask this because, of course, you know, Coach Moore, fellow offensive lineman, everyone wants to know their opinion on what they think Zach Frazier could do at the next level. What are their opinions on just your strengths and how that will translate? So I'm curious from your perspective, if you, when you're out here and you're having these conversations, you're pitching yourself as a player, what is it about you? Why do you think you would be a good fit for an NFL team?
I think for me, it's just setting the tone up front for, you know, being physical, setting the tone for games, letting that goes for, you know, your offensive line and then also the defense line that you're going against. And then also being a smart player, knowing all the assignments, knowing all the calls to make, making them quick, making them loud so everyone hears, stuff like that.
You know, Zach, you've had the interesting experience now of, I guess, kind of joining the upper 1 and 2% of athletes that get to go through this experience. And as football fans, I think we all kind of wonder, what are these pre-draft meetings like? Like, what kind of questions do you get asked and what is expected of you? Can you give fans who are listening to this just a little bit of insight as to what these meetings are like? I mean, what's the feeling? Because you say it's kind of hard to read into which teams are interested, which aren't. I mean, I'm sure it's hard to do that in the moment, but take us through maybe some of these meetings and what you've experienced here.
Yeah, I would say pretty much every meeting starts off with, you know, telling them your background about your family, your upbringing, and everyone will have a little bit of different questions, but they start with your, you know, your personal life, your life growing up, stuff like that. Then they move more into the football side of things. Some teams will pull up your film, ask you questions about, you know, what you did on a certain play and why you did that on a certain play. Other teams will maybe install like one of their own plays in the beginning of the meeting, go through and ask you a bunch of questions, then come back to that play and see if you can draw it up and teach it back to them. Stuff like that. Then sometimes you meet, like over Zoom and do the same thing, like learn a play and then be able to repeat it back.
Now, I'm not going to ask you the question of who do you hope drafts you, right? Because I'm sure you're like, I would love to be drafted. That's the dream. Let's not put any teams out there, right? I know who I hope that you're drafted by. I hope that you're coming back close to here and you're a Pittsburgh Steeler, Zach. I've been preaching it to the absolute choir, but I would like to know, for you, when you're meeting with people, when you're looking at teams, is there any NFL offenses in particular that you look at and think, oh, I would be able to have success in that immediately? I mean, do you think about that at all whenever you're looking at these teams? Are there some that you think, hey, I could have a role here right away and my skill set really fits in? I mean, do you make any types of observations like that now without really knowing what the future is going to hold?
I try not to, because at the end of the day, I don't have a choice in it. But yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe I think you look at, you know, some teams and some places and you think, oh, that could be cool to play there. That could be cool to play with, you know, this coach or that quarterback or that guard beside you. Like all that stuff would be cool, or like, I don't know.
Now, regardless of which team, is there a certain NFL stadium that you really hope that you get to play in? Like, what would be the dream stadium for you to get to suit up and compete in, regardless of the colors that you're wearing?
I would say probably Green Bay. I think that's the most, like, historic stadium. I think that would be cool. To play in Lambeau Field, just because of, you know, the history there. And yeah.
Kevin Redfern's going to love to hear that.
So is Sean Mariner.
Yeah, so is Sean Mariner. That's right.
I'll be excited.
She was asking you about, you know, are you looking at any NFL teams? You're just trying to make sure 54 is available in these rosters, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. Some of them have them retired, so we'll see what happens.
So we can just scratch those teams off the list and move on to the ones that have it open.
Yeah. Definitely.
So the NFL draft is coming up April 25th. We're only a couple weeks away at this point as we talk to you today. What are your goals? What is the day-to-day going to be looking like for you leading up to draft day then? What are the final tweaks you're, I guess, going to be making?
Yeah, my I guess all I'm doing right now is just getting in shape, because once the draft happens, then, you know, either the next week or 2 weeks after the draft, I have to be out there doing rookie mini camp. So I'm really just training to get in shape for that and prepare for wherever I go.
Well, Zach, this is the last one for me that I would like to know, because, again, it's been a topic this spring. We have heard that on the first day of full pads, that the defensive line really gave it to the offensive line. Coach Brown says, because those guys, Eddie V, Sean Martin, he said they were just itching to get after an offensive line where they knew Zach Frazier was not going to stop them on the other side. Now, we then heard, though, from the offensive line that, hey, it maybe just those first couple of plays, but then they got it back together. What are have the battles been like the past couple of years between the WVU defensive lines, you know, in the era when Dante Stills was here, you leading this offensive line? And do you think that even still without you, the offensive line will have the upper hand in those battles during the spring?
Yeah, well, first, I have no doubt that they're going to finish on top. I have faith in those guys. But yeah, I would just say, like, over the past couple years, playing with all those guys, we've just made each other better. And really, spring ball, that's all you can do is make each other better. You know, if the defense has a better day or the offense has a better day, at the end of the day, everyone's getting better. So that's really what's important in spring, because you're playing each other. You're not, you know, suiting up and getting to play a different team. But at the same time, that gets old hitting the same people over and over again, and makes you excited for the fall when you get to line up against someone else.
On that note right there, and that's a perfect segue into what I was just getting ready to ask you, are you excited to start hitting someone you haven't hit for the last 4 years? Like does that excite you a little bit?
Yeah, I'm excited for everything coming up. It's all going to be a new experience, and I'm just excited to, you know, get to experience that, really, and, you know, practice against the best of the best and play against the best of the best.
Do you have it in your head yet, maybe what the first thing you're going to buy once you get that NFL contract is going to be?
I don't have anything in mind yet.
Not like new golf clubs or anything like that?
No. I just got new golf clubs actually right before the season started, and I played one round with them, and I still have not got to play another round with them since then. So hopefully maybe I get to do that before the draft at some point.
All right, well, Kevin and I are going to Mountaineer tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. Just show up with us. It's fine.
Okay, yeah, that'd be fun.
And then I guess last one here for you, Zach. Draft day, do you have any plans for draft day? Or I guess, are you sticking home in Fairmont? Are you going to be around family? Or what are you doing? How are you going to take that whole experience in?
Yeah, I'm just going to stay at home. I'm just going to stay at home with family. I don't really want to have a big party or anything. I just want to, you know, stay with family and see what happens. So
are we invited?
Sure.
He said family.
That's us, Zach. We're family.
Yeah. West Virginia family.
Exactly. Well, Zach, I mean, you've been great to watch from Fairmont senior all the way through your college career. Number 54 is the best. And I know we're both excited. Everybody in West Virginia is excited to see what you're going to do at the next level.
I'll be excited for you regardless of whether you're a Pittsburgh Steeler or not. Don't worry, I will still always root for you. And just thanks for everything that you've done with us over the past couple of years. For someone who absolutely hates being in front of a camera with a microphone on, you've put a smile on and you've done it every single time. So we really appreciate it. And we look forward to watching you at the next level.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. It's been a great time, you know, the last couple of years. So thank you all too.
Yep, that's the pride of Fairmont, West Virginia, Zach Frazier, getting ready for the NFL draft, and certainly made an impact on the field at WVU and off the field as well, with plenty of visits over to the Children's Hospital and all the various things you did off the field, Zach. So definitely appreciate the time, and we know you're going to do great at the next level.
Thank you. Thank you all.
All right, that's going to do it here for this edition of the Golden Blue Nation podcast. Make sure to stay with us, as we'll have plenty more episodes coming out throughout the next several weeks. But you have been listening to the Golden Blue Nation podcast, brought to you by Elite Roofing and Construction. Roof with the best, or leak with the rest.